You're listening to the Passion Church Podcast. We believe that today's message will help you thrive in your relationship with Jesus as you follow Him. We'll be back after the podcast with more information. And now, today's message from Pastor Aaron Kozlowski, right here at Passion Church.
Cooperate. A little louder, I couldn't hear you. Say cooperate. We have got to cooperate with God. Simple as that. He is so faithful and so good. You know, we sang this morning that He is for us, not against us. And that is so incredibly true. He is for you. He's not against you. However, we have to cooperate with God. You know, just like on Christmas morning, if your family or wife or husband or parents or whoever may be giving you a giant gift, if someone were to give you a giant gift, what do you have to do in response to that gift? You actually have to reach out and receive that gift. That gift isn't going to open itself. You're going to have to participate in the process. And I want to get this concept across today, because if we don't participate in God's processes, it doesn't matter how much He's done, He's not going to supersede your will. If you don't want salvation, He's made it available to you. If you don't want heaven to be your eternal home, He's made it available to you, each and every one of us, but we have to receive the gift. We need to participate in what God has done. He is a good God, and He is an incredible giver. But just because He's made something available doesn't mean that we get to partake in it and participate if we choose not to. And so we're going to read today in this Palm Sunday story. We're going to start there. In Matthew chapter 21, could you turn the next slide, please? Matthew 21, verse 1, says this: when they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately He will send them." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and laid their coats on them, and He sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats on the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. Next slide. The crowds going ahead of Him and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When He had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." There's something I want to bring out from this story. This is the account of our Palm Sunday. And everyone was praising and worshiping and saying, "Hosanna, you are blessed because you're obviously here from God." And they went over and over, "You are blessed, you are blessed, you are blessed. Blessed is He. You have come in the name of the Lord." It's easy to praise and to worship and to exalt God when the mob is exalting God. However, is it easy to follow God in the middle of persecution? In the middle of a problem, in the middle of plague, in the middle of whatever is going on, in the middle of pestilence, in the middle of a world in chaos? Because the reality is that this group of people here who praised God on Sunday, 5 days later yelled, "Crucify Him." We got to watch out for the mob mentality. It's not just emotions. It's not just a moment. It's a lifetime of service. It's a lifetime of worshiping and praising him and staying on your face before his majesty that matters the most. It's a consistency in your walk with God that matters. It's not so hard to worship him when it's Palm Sunday and the entire city is exploding in praise. But when everyone else is crying out, "Crucify him," what do you say? What is your heart screaming? Long live the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what I hope your heart would say. So this crowd crucified him just 5 days later. And so what I want to do is just go through some of the events that took place over this week. Here we are. We call this Holy Week from Palm Sunday to Easter. And so many things took place during this time. But we're gonna continue on. In Luke chapter 22, thanks, kid. Luke chapter 22, we have the story of the Last Supper. And so this is Thursday. And now the festival of unleavened bread arrived. So Luke 22:7. And when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, they went off to the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover meal there. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, "I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins." Jesus knew what he was about to endure. "For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." So I want to go back to the original Passover. Jesus was celebrating the Passover. What was Passover? Passover was the event of when the Israelites were in slavery and in bondage in Egypt. God delivered them from that oppression, and this is how he did it. All right, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 4. "And if the household is too small for the lamb, tell him and his neighbor next to his house, take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish," okay, it had to be a perfect lamb, "a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Now the blood shall be a sign for you and on the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. And the people of Israel did as Moses had instructed." So the people of Israel were told to take a perfect lamb, a spotless, perfect lamb, and kill that lamb and take the blood of the lamb and sprinkle it over the doorpost of their house, the entryway to their home. And then they were to cook the rest of the lamb and eat it together as a meal. See, when the blood was over the door of their home, the angel of death, this plague, would pass over their house and would not come near them. However, the Israelites had a part to play. If they did not put the blood of that spotless lamb over the door of their home, it did not exempt them from this plague. It was a very, very, very interactive moment where God was saying, "Here are my instructions to you. Will you obey my instructions? Because when you obey my instructions, there is life and blessing and salvation attached to that. But if you choose to reject my instructions, that's your choice. And you're allowed to do that." Let's continue on in Isaiah chapter 55. man, God is so much more intelligent and incredible than we are in so many ways. And in Isaiah 55, he talks about it. It says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish. All right, does that make sense? So the rain comes down, the snow comes down. What does it do? It waters the earth. Why? So that there can be produce, so that the flowers can grow, so that all the things on earth that are living can have fresh water, okay? Finishing up the verse here. So is my word, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It's interesting that God is equating his word to rain and snow. If you know anything about the precipitation cycle, how when it comes down, but then it evaporates back to the clouds, right? And so is my word that goes out from my mouth. Here we go. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 19, okay? So that's God's part. God says that when he declares his word, the things that he says, they will come to pass. However, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we have a part to play in this. Are you ready? For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. He is the one whom Silas, Timothy, and I preach to you, and is God's ultimate yes. We sang this morning that his favor is upon you, that he is for you. Christ Jesus is God's ultimate yes. As God's ultimate yes, he always does what he says. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ Jesus with a resounding yes. And through Christ, here we go, our amen, which means yes or so be it, ascends to God to his glory. It's interesting to me that all of God's promises are yes. All of God's promises are available. But this also says that our amen ascends to God for his glory. We have to be the ones that out of our mouth participate in God's promises. We have to say amen to what God is doing. We have to say yes. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have to say yes. We are safe from pestilence. We have to say, yes, amen. God, I agree with you. I see what you say. I agree with you. I say yes. I say amen. Just like the Israelites, they had to play their part in putting the blood of that spotless lamb over the door of their home. We have the responsibility of saying amen to the promises of God if we desire to partake. Don't just live life letting life happen to you, assuming that whatever comes your way, oh well, this is what I got, it's what it is. No, you have to add your amen to God's yes. You have to add your amen to God's yes. In the Bible, there's through this season and this story of Holy Week, we have a guy by the name of Peter. Peter is one of Jesus's, I don't know if you want to say favorite three, or he was always with Jesus. All right, and so in Luke chapter 9, verse 18, I want to delve into a little bit about Peter and his story, and then we're going to wrap up with some thoughts. All right, and Peter, and Peter's not a book of the Bible. Later. In Luke chapter 9, verse 18, it says this. So Luke chapter 9, verse 18. Thanks, kid. One day Jesus left the crowds to pray alone. Only his disciples were with him, and he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say you are one of the other ancient prophets risen from the dead." Then they asked him, "But who do you say I am?" This is crucial. This is a question that every one of us have to wrestle with and have to answer at one point in our life. Jesus asked Peter point blank, "Okay, great. That's great. That's you gave me what everyone else says of who I am." But he looked his disciples right in the eyes and said, "But who do you say that I am?" And this was Peter's response. It says, Peter replied, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." In the New Living Translation, it says, "You are the Messiah sent from God." Peter responded well. He said, "I know exactly who you are. You are the Savior. You are the one we've been looking for. You are the messenger sent from God. You are the one who's going to save us. You are the guy. You are it." My prayer for you today would be that would be your response as well. That you would be to say to be Jesus, "Jesus, you are my Savior. You are my everything. You are it. You are everything that I've always needed, and I just didn't know it." All right? Let's continue on. In Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to be going back and forth between the book of Luke and the book of Matthew because they're parallel versions of the same story. And so in Matthew chapter 16, it says, "Now when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' And Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" And then this was Jesus' response to Simon Peter. "And Jesus said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." Back to Matthew chapter 16, okay? So you ever, like, gotten something really, really right, you know, and everyone around you is like, "Hey, you got that right." Man, this is like Peter's moment, right? Jesus asks him, "Who do you say I am?" He answered correctly. And in front of everyone, Jesus declares, "All right, you are the rock. You are Peter." You know, and you are going to be so instrumental in building the church. Peter's like, "All right, yes, I got it." And then we continue on with the story, okay? So back to Matthew chapter 16. "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples," 16:21, "that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him." Now, I don't know here if Peter just kind of got a little cocky from, like, had just gotten this one question so right. It's like, wait. I know all about this now. Or if just the pain of losing Jesus was too much and he couldn't stand this moment. But this is what happens. Peter began to rebuke Jesus and said, "God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." Peter had just gotten the fact that Jesus was Messiah. so right. But in this moment, he turned from God's interests to his own or to man's. I cannot encourage you enough to keep your interests God's interests, to keep your attention on your focus on God all the time. So let's continue with Peter's story here. In chapter 26, verse 31, so they're all, actually, this is the Last Supper, and Jesus is telling his disciples what's about to take place, and it's painful for them. And so then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And the disciples said the same thing too. I got to be honest. I see this parallel between the crowds that were worshiping Jesus on Palm Sunday and Peter's testimony here that no matter what, he would never turn his back on Jesus. We can have the best of intentions, but the best of our intentions aren't enough if they aren't followed through with good actions. Our intentions have to be followed through with good actions. Let's hear the rest of the story, because it goes someplace pretty dark, but it doesn't stay there. And that's the beauty of Jesus working in someone's life, all right? So in Matthew chapter 26 says, we fast forward just a little bit, and Judas has come and betrayed Jesus in the garden, and the guards came and took Jesus away, and sure enough, all the disciples fled. They all ran for their lives. And Peter had some knew a couple people or have followed Jesus. He wanted to be close. He wanted to see what was going to happen. And so he goes to where Jesus is being tried. And sure enough, he just to the simplest of people, his fear gets the best of him. His "what about me" takes over. And he does things that he never thought he could have been capable of doing. And it says here in Matthew 26, verse 74, "Then he began to curse and swear, saying, 'I do not know the man.' And immediately the rooster crowed." And Peter remembered the word that Jesus had said, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. So what does Peter do? He swore up and down he would never, ever, ever turn his back on Jesus. And he did. He denies him three times, just like Jesus said. Peter is so full of remorse. He doesn't know what to do. He's weeping bitterly at this moment, but he really just loses himself. And he goes back to fishing, because that's the thing he knows. So he goes back to fishing, and one day he's out with some of the disciples who are also fishermen, and Jesus is gone, and they don't know what to do. And so they go back to fishing, and they're out fishing, and there's this guy up on the shore, and he's cooking, and he's got fish. They're looking for fish, and they can't find fish, but there's this guy up on the shore, and he's got fish. And so it turns out that Jesus calls to them and says, "Have you caught any fish?" And immediately there's some more events, and they all recognize, "Oh, it's Jesus. It's him." And so Peter jumps out of the boat and swims to shore as fast as his arms can take him. And he gets to Jesus. And sure enough, you know, it's just like Jesus to have the very thing that we're so desperately looking for without him. They were trying to fish, and Jesus already had the fish. And so the disciples all make it back to shore, and they eat, and Jesus pulls Peter aside. And this is what happens. In John chapter 21, verse 15. John chapter 21, verse 15. Sorry, it's not going again. Thank you. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Now, not certain if he's talking about the fish or the other disciples. I personally think he was talking about the fish. That's just me, because that was what he went back to instead of continuing in the way he had been going in his life. "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you, Jesus." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." What we see next is Peter becoming exactly who Jesus said he would be. He goes and he becomes this leader of this ragtag crew of disciples after Jesus ascends back to the Father. Jesus has risen from the grave at this point, and he ascends back to the Father, and he tells them to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And sure enough, they receive the promise of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And when they do, Peter's life is radically transformed. And this Peter, who once denied Jesus three times, was completely restored. Not only in relationship with Jesus, but he was restored to his purpose and destiny in life. He became the pillar of the church that Jesus had declared he was going to be. So today, I want to ask you this simple question. Where are you in your journey? And are you participating in God's plan? Are you participating, or are you standing back on the outside looking in, expecting God to do something for you instead of with you? The first group of people I would talk to today are those that maybe feel like Peter. Maybe you've never had a relationship with Jesus, or maybe somewhere along the way you once did, but you've denied him. You've turned your back on him, and you know it, and you feel it, and you want to get right with God today. Peter got right with Jesus, and you can too. The second group of people I want to talk to today are those that maybe you are right with God, and you are exactly in relationship with him to the best of your ability that you know how to do, but you're not participating with him the way you need to, where you are not speaking his word over your life. You're not adding your amen to God's word. I want to encourage you to do that as well. We're going to pray today for everyone watching. But first, for those that either you've never had a relationship with God, or maybe you did once upon a time, but you know you've strayed from that, I want to pray with you. You know, the word of God says that when you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. See, The story of Easter that we're talking about next Sunday is all about the story of Jesus dying on the cross to pay a penalty that he didn't deserve, but we did. Jesus took the punishment that I deserved, that you deserved. He went to hell. He died a horrible death on the cross so that you and I could receive forgiveness for all the things we've done, just like Peter did. Three times Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" It was three times that Peter had denied Jesus. Three times Peter had an opportunity to get it right. And you know what? You have the same opportunity right now. Jesus died on the cross for you. Just like with that gift we talked about, you've got to participate. Eternity is in the balance. You know, in this world we live in, it's a little terrifying what's going on everywhere. You know what? You can make sure that your eternal home and your eternal destination is heaven by beginning your relationship with Jesus Christ today. Let's pray. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you to pray after me. Pray loud enough that you can hear it with your own ears, because there's something about adding our amen to what God has already done. And then we're going to pray for the second group of us. Say, "Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I desire a fresh start. Come into my heart. Cleanse me from the inside out. I desire to be adopted as your child, to be part of your family. Help me to live for you and to respond to you in relationship all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." Amen. You can know that if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, you added your amen to what God has already provided, and you have been what Jesus said in John chapter 3 called born again. I would like you to message us maybe at the bottom of your screen or email us at contact@passionchurches.com. Let us know that you made that decision. But now for everyone else who may have already made that decision, it's time for us to add our amen to everything God is doing in the earth. We need to add our amen to the promises of God. We need to add our agreement to what God says. That is our act of faith, to see God supernaturally move in our lives, to see him pass over. We have to add our amen in the middle of pestilence, in the middle of war, in the middle of famine. We do not have to partake when we add our amen. God is so faithful. Let's pray. Say, "Father God, I add my amen to everything you've done. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for prosperity. I thank you for provision. I thank you for health. And I agree with your word, God, that by your stripes, I am healed. My family is healed. I declare out of my mouth that all your promises are true, and they are for me. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord God Almighty with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. In Jesus' name, amen." God has a part for you to play in walking out his promises. You have to add your amen to everything he says. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for joining us. Man, awesome job, band. Thank you for worshiping with us today. This video will be uploaded shortly if you want to share it or let people know. Again, if you prayed today to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you came back to him after any time, man, please message us and let us know. Our email is contact@passionchurches.com. We would love to hear with you. We would love to pray with you and agree with you in faith for God's blessing on your life. Again, Friday night, 7:30, will be communion right here live. And then Saturday morning at 10 will be Kids Church. And Sunday morning at 10, Easter Sunday. God bless. We'll see you this week.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We believe you can have a part in what God is doing through Passion Church. Your generosity helps us make a difference in the lives of those who are touched by the ministry here. Visit PassionChurches.com or simply text the word PassionNJ to 77977 and follow the links to give. Text and data rates may apply. If you have any questions or feedback that you'd like to share with us, everything you need can be found at PassionChurches.com. We can't wait to hear from you. On our website, you can download our app, connect with us on social media, and check out all that's happening here at the church. Again, thank you for listening right here at Passion Church.